following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. Episode 46 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast brought to you by Defense Soap. Again, we're going to be graced with the presence of legendary wrestling coach, world and Olympic champion Dan Gable. Coach Gable, how's the month of August been treating you?
It's pretty good. I just would like to see it become real good. That's kind of my nature. I like things above and beyond what's normal and way above normal. And right now we're in that direction because I don't know when the last time we won a Junior Worlds, but the USA Wrestling won a Junior World Championship here this year. I mean, they didn't win by much, but who cares? They won by 1 point. And when you don't win a lot at that level, team championships are very important. So if we can get another championship in this month of August at the Senior Worlds, then that might be record performance. That might be record performance.
I'd say it's a pretty safe bet because history tells us the last junior world title or last year that a junior world title would have been won by the United States in men's freestyle would have been 1984. Those world championships held in the United States. And of course, 1984, a year with the Olympics where the Eastern Bloc boycotted the Olympics. Well, we didn't see any of the Soviets in 1984. So maybe an asterisk beside that world championship back in 84. But let's take nothing away from the athletes this past week in Tampere, Finland. Coach, there was this kind of leads into our first discussion point about the emphasis that USA Wrestling is now placing on the junior and cadet world championships across all three styles. We look back historically, pre-breakup, it was like, okay, there's the juniors. But now we're taking a lot more seriously as the Turks, the Russians, and those wrestling powerhouses have taken it. Where do you see the importance with the cadet and junior championships as it relates to senior level success?
Well, I think it goes hand in hand. I also am a little bit of a guy that loves what I term peaking. And by that, I mean, if you get a kid that wins a cadet world championship, you know, I'm wanting him to be able to win at the next level and then at the next level. And so that means junior level, and that means senior level. And so I'm also a guy that's kind of saying, okay, let me look at his personality. And if that kid's personality is totally wrestling and he is loving it and he is eating it up, then I'm saying, okay, we're on our way with him. But if it's not, even though we're winning at that lower level, I want to make sure that they're winning at that upper level. So that may mean other things in his life. You know, he may be have to play high school football. He may have to play baseball. You know, he may have to do very well on his academics. I'm just saying, keep somebody in it for the long term is real crucial, and especially now since we're back to the cadets and then the juniors, and now the seniors. So it takes a lot of coaching, a lot of good parenting, and it takes a lot of understanding of how you keep it going at all three levels. And that is what I'd love to see.
A couple of the athletes we've seen that have spent time at the training center Kyle Snyder, of course, won a world championship 2015, Olympic championship in 2016, skipped his senior year in terms of high school competition, went and trained at the Olympic Training Center. We see a phenom coming through at heavyweight right now. Gable Steveson, of course, named after you. His middle name is Dan. And, you know, when you look at an athlete like that, do you think it would benefit him to say, you know what, you've crushed all these high school kids. You're winning matches against 20-year-old men. Do you think it would behoove Mr. Steveson to go to the training center for a year and continue developing there before he heads to college? Or what do you think the role should be for some of these athletes that are just having phenomenal success while they're still in high school?
Well, again, I think it has to be made by the people that are closest to him, and then even himself giving some great input, because, you know, for a guy like Snyder to be able to do what he's doing and continuing to be able to do what he's doing, you know, it's pretty amazing. But I think he's good at it. He makes some good decisions, and he, you know, it's like last year when he came out of redshirt to wrestle, he didn't come out and wrestle every match, you know, so he's not so-called burning yourself out, or if that's possible. So I think he's doing a lot of great type of scheduling, setting down, figuring things out, and not maybe overdoing and being able to have the success he's having. Now, he's had a few losses overseas, but again, that's part of the process of peaking, and he's been able to come through at the major event. So again, I feel like he must be doing a good job, and the people around him must be doing a good job. Now, Gable Stevens is another story. You know, he's even winning cadet and junior world championships more than probably anybody. And because of that, you know, his dad, his mom, his coaches, they really have to take a close look at how you keep this kid in that lineup at that level for a lot more years, because we could use guys that win a lot over all their years. So it's really up to the people around him and himself input to make those really important decisions.
Strong performances overall, again, freestyle with the championship. Greco-Roman, despite having a disastrous final day, I had a great first day and ultimately finishing fourth place. Kamal Bey became the first Greco-Roman Junior World Champion since, looks like 1999, if memory serves. And then the women finished in fifth place. So you've got three top five finishes from Team USA at a junior level, a level that is getting ferocious in terms of its depth. And Coach, I was looking over the preliminary entries for at least the freestyle side of things. There are 42 junior world medalists that'll be competing in Paris in men's freestyle alone. So I think that right there shows that other countries, not just us, are taking the junior world championships pretty seriously with their developmental process.
Wow, that's unheard of. 42 guys that just competed, you know, 2 weeks ago, and go to
I'm saying
medalists.
Overall, I'm saying in the history that there are wrestlers who medaled at the junior world championships in their career are now at the senior level. They'll be competing in Paris.
Okay, I understand that. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Amazing, though.
I always kind of think a little bit out of the box, and when you said something like that, I jumped right to that. But anyway, it's definitely something that is good for just people to look at. I mean, in life, I mean, it's, you can't jump into anything and just be good. Well, most of the people, I mean, there are a few of the lucky ones that may be born just perfect from a certain skill, but not very many. And, you know, it takes in wrestling. It's one of those things that if you go back in history and you take a good athlete and you throw him out in the wrestle mat and he doesn't have any experience, you know, he may show some signs, but he's still not going to beat the athlete right away that has several years of wrestling under his belt, but or her belt. But, you know, right when I say that, I think about people in my career that have really only started wrestling at in a certain age, and they still done very well just because of their talent. You know, a guy like Chris Campbell back in my early days of coaching, you know, pulled out three-time national finalist, national championship twice, world title, Olympic medal, sat out seven, eight years, came back, you know, end up winning another world medal. And he really only had 1 year of high school wrestling before he came to Iowa. 2 years later, he was, you know, in the national finals. But, you know, that's unheard of and unusual, and most people have to work their way up. But got enough talent. Let's go for it.
Working with that talent is, as you alluded to, the coaching part of it. And if you look back when you were prominent in coaching the freestyle teams, whether a world or Olympic championships, now there is a lot more in the developmental pipeline. They've hired guys like Gary Mayab and Greco-Roman and Joe Russell in freestyle to kind of oversee things from the top down in terms of how our youth and grassroots kids are moving through the senior level. What would it have been for you to benefit with situations like we have now with USA Wrestling?
Well, I can remember the one time that I actually got an invitation during all my high school or junior high career. And it was right after my senior season of high school, I actually got invited to go to what's called the Olympic Development Camp. And it was in Colorado. And it was the one and only time that I really had that opportunity, even though I was an undefeated high school wrestler. So I, you know, by comparing that to what's available now and the invitations that go out, even probably in junior high, there's just no comparison. So we have a lot more opportunity now than we did then. That doesn't mean that we didn't have some good wrestlers back then. We certainly did, and we always have. But just the amount of experience and knowledge that's coming forth earlier and the opportunities are a lot greater. But again, you know, if you got to look at that individual to make sure that he's going to be good at all levels, or to make sure that you can do the things necessary to keep him, his interest high. And, you know, that's the people around him. And sometimes we, you know, the biggest complaint are, you know, like people that are close to him that are pushing things. You know, I think instead of using those words, push, it's more like provide. And what he picks up on, what he doesn't, then, you know, I think with a little push, that's fine. But it can be, you know, I really don't like when all of a sudden I hear about a kid wins at the cadet level now, and that's maybe the last I hear about him, or maybe you hear about him a little bit to the juniors and you don't hear about him through college, or you don't hear about him through the USA Wrestling. So I think things are in place. It's just a matter of great guidance, and that's all you can do.
One thing I've noticed with this junior team is the way that the trials procedures are also set up is you had a lot less of these high-level junior guys really testing the waters at the senior levels because they've got to compete for you know, the UWW Junior Championships. And there are people who say, well, why don't they test themselves? Why don't they test themselves? And on the other half, you got, they've got to prepare for this age group. Where do you think the benefit is with athletes that they're testing themselves in the practice room versus, say, being a freshman in college entering the U.S. Open and you know, say, going 1-2, 2-2?
I think the practice is great. I think as far as testing yourself, it depends upon the will of the individual. I mean, if he says, I'm going to test myself, then he's probably not going to do very good. Because that usually means that I'm going to go in there and try it and see how I compare. Well, that doesn't give you much of an edge, because usually the edge you have is because you know you have that edge and that you're not going to try it. Now, I could say just the opposite, where there's a few kids that could actually do that and, you know, use it as training grounds. Just depends on the attitude again. But in wrestling, I want you to know that sometimes when you take a beating, you never forget it. And how you use that beating is really how you're going to go from there. And mentally, you better be pretty secure in our sport. If you're not pretty mentally secure, then there's things that happen automatically to your performance or to how you could actually engage in the match. So it's a tricky sport, and that's why it's so tough, and that's why it's so valuable, because you use all the skills for your lifetime for success. And even though sometimes people says, you know, it's just a sport that it's almost too competitive, too combative, where are we heading? You know, we have to have some of that. I mean, we do a lot of pushing buttons right now, but we need a little more than that. We need some actual work, because I don't think this house I live in here is going to get built by just a push of a button. But at the same time, you need both. You need brains, and you need people that can operate that. And our sport is something that you really apply both. And I think that's real critical for the future.
And working with applying all of those things, and we've seen the college programs really embrace the regional training center and the wrestling club model. When you're going through coaching at Iowa, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club still obviously is bringing guys in and training them. Where did you see the benefits of your college guys working with the senior level athletes that are training, granted, a different style of wrestling, but where did you see the benefits in that? And where have you seen the regional training center model really kind of help kickstart not just the college programs where they exist, but our international medal hopes?
First of all, the different styles, there really is only one sport. It's called wrestling, whether it's Greco, whether it's freestyle, whether it's scholastic or intercollegiate. And there's other styles too. I mean, there's other styles that people apply. And there's even self-defenses like judo and, you know, those types of things. But they all apply to the same process of controlling and dominating an opponent and winning. It's just a matter of understanding the tweaks. And the tweaks are simply whether you go to your back or you don't go to your back. You know, that type of thing. And for me, I really think that sometimes when we get stuck on one style, we forget that it's wrestling. I can use that throw 90% of the time in a scholastic match. Maybe not from behind back suplex where they put the guy on his head, but you know, that's the exception, because almost everything from the front you can use. And it's just a matter of how you use it and how you apply it and to what style it is. So whether it's just a throw through the air and scoring points, or it's a throw to the air and control, which is scholastic, you know, it's that simple. And so, you know, that's real important. But these regional training centers are something that I'm hearing a lot of talk out there, and you know, it's like, okay, only the real wealthy can afford that or whatever. You know, we got to look at the sport, what is best for the sport, and definitely regional training centers are good for the sport. You know, we can't be looking at just our program and saying, well, this person has an advantage over me because my budget's $100,000, their budget's $1 million. Well, I'm sorry, but the sport, we need both. And so when somebody complains about not having the same abilities or the same resources or the same equipment or the same size room, or whether we should have saunas or we shouldn't have saunas, and because one can have it and one can't, or, you know, has the ability to have that, you know, all of a sudden you got to stop and you look at what the sport is good for and where we're at the upper level. And just how authoritative we are. Well, you know what? We are not enough authoritative. And by that, I'm saying, I was just reading again about those slots they took away from us, those numbers can't remember what it was, 56 or something like that, for the next Olympic Games. And wow, that's like crazy. You know, we really should have. And then somebody says, well, you're lucky to even be here. And you know what? In a way, we kind of are, because, you know, we potentially got dropped. But we only got dropped because of poor leadership and not staying up with the game. The game means what's going on currently. And so right now, you know, I think people have to first answer the question, is it good for the sport? And if it's good for the sport, then you got to move ahead. And right now, the regional training centers definitely are good for the sport. Now, if there's such an advantage that you need some tweaks, yeah, I can understand that. But for the sport, you got to think that way, because otherwise we're going to lose another 56 spots in the next vote instead of gaining. Right now with 6 weight classes, you know, we got to move forward. And that's where we're at.
Moving forward to the Senior World Championships again, August 21st through 26th in Paris. Coach, who are you most looking forward to watching at the World Championships this year?
Hey, I'm a World Championship fan. I mean, I was a competitor. I mean, it's a thrill. It's, you know, I know the peak for most of the countries are, you know, 3 years from now, but this is how you get there, and some of them won't even be on the same team. But no, I usually like to go and watch all 6 days, 2 days for each style. But this year, I'm only going to be able to be there for the freestyle, just because the last minute decision that I'm actually going. But I would say right now, you know, we are pretty solid in the women's freestyle. I think it's be great to have a good performance there to get us better than pretty solid, to get us right there for the championship, you know, because, you know, I was looking at the rankings of across the board of top 20 in each weight class. And, you know, Russia's coming on in the women's freestyle as well. You know, they got a lot of girls ranked. And even though Japan has, you know, a lot of girls ranked high, throughout those rankings, there's more actual Russians than Japanese. So we don't want all of a sudden the dominations going again to more one country. We'd like to see USA, Japan continue to spread the wealth in female wrestling besides just Russia. But I'd say that when I'm looking at the biggest void for the United States, it's in Greco-Roman right now, where we only have, I believe, 2 rankings amongst 160 athletes. I would really like to see a good performance in Greco-Roman. And I know that some people would say, well, maybe Greco-Roman might not be a sport in the future. Well, I you know, I disagree with that, because if I look and see where the power, there's a lot of power over there in Europe and Asia in Greco-Roman wrestling, just because it's not a power in the United States. So I think we need to make a jump, and I'd love to see a big jump in that Greco-Roman wrestling, instead of just having 2 ranked out of the 160, you know, we get, you know, half a dozen, then we get 10, we get 12, we get 14. I think Russians in freestyle have like 31 ranked right now. But anyway, my biggest, I'm looking for record performance. And you know what? When we just won those junior worlds, that doesn't happen very often. I think you said it happened in 84, and that was really when the year the Russians weren't there. And I'm not sure when it was before that, but I think we won maybe in 69 in the United States. I think there's a team member of mine from West Waterloo High School, Richie Bennick, that was on that team and won the gold medal. And so I think we won several goals and won that team championship. Bill Wick was the coach. But really, I'm looking and say, we got an opportunity right now at the Senior Worlds, because we just won the Junior Worlds, and it has been a long time since we won the Junior Worlds. If we win the Senior Worlds, are we going to put people on notice? Yes, we are. And we're going to bring up the whole level of sport. And so the Russians aren't going to like it, you know, and a lot of people aren't going to like it. And so that makes everybody go to work a little bit more. So we have this opportunity in front of us that hopefully we can take advantage of it. Going into the Senior Worlds, winning the Junior Worlds by 1 point over Russia just 3 weeks or a month earlier, and we walk away with the championship here, I tell you what, we have a lot to be proud of. Now, it's only the first year of a four-year cycle. Can't forget and go back and celebrate too much. But we haven't even won that Senior Worlds yet. So, but that's what I would say right now for me, team title. This coming up in 2 weeks would be outstanding for USA Wrestling. Now, World Wrestling, like I said, it would kick in the butt a little bit because a lot of media, a lot of attention is always placed on the United States of America. And for us to be strong in a sport that emphasizes strength, that'd be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. And I really think that it's going to take a tremendous performance but to do it. But the thing I like about it is we're in the position unlike none of the past. So here we go.
Now, moving over to the women's side of things, the group Wrestle Like a Girl, and Sally Roberts has been spearheading that as they've worked on the bid and actually submitted it to the NCAA for emerging sports status. Coach Tom Brands at the University of Iowa also penned a letter of support in that, as well as 11 colleges and universities that either currently have NCAA, there are NCAA institutions that currently sponsor women's wrestling, or they will promise to do it. Arizona State was the only one that was Division I on that list. Of course, no surprise knowing that the Martori's family and their love for women's wrestling and wrestling as a whole through Sunkist Kids. Now, emerging sports status for women's wrestling. This is big. You've been a guy, and your opinion's changed over the years in terms of what you've thought about women's wrestling from maybe when it started. Where do you see the role of women's wrestling as it relates to women's wrestling, and where do you see the role of women's wrestling as it pertains to men's wrestling here with this NCAA hopeful emerging sports status?
You know, I'm 100% behind the women's movement in our sport, and I think it's very essential. But mostly for me, it's like I'm kind of torn in within what I hear of, like, okay, so what style do they wrestle? Because I think there's a lot of freestyle going on, and I'm not sure even about the collegiate or scholastic style. I'm not really sure where that's at.
Let me interrupt you real quick and fill you in just a little bit. Their bid is going to say that this will be freestyle and it will be a fall sport, not a winter sport. So it won't be in the wrestling rooms at the same time as much with the men. There will be a little bit of crossover, but currently the 34 colleges that sponsor women's wrestling, most of them in the NAIA, they compete in kind of a fall winter season. They're done February and they are freestyle. So they are following international trips. They will put the Schultz on their schedule, the New York AC, those type of events on their schedules as part of their college season. So that's where they sit currently, and they fall freestyle is what's going to be part of their bid for emerging sports status. So that's where that stands.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And, I can't just throw out answers just because that's the first information. I just know that there is some conflict in what style they should be going. And, I'm a male point of view, for me, I just believe that my scholastic style really helped my freestyle, and I did Greco-Roman, I did all style, but we really didn't have the opportunity to compete in anything but scholastic much, except for, once you got to a certain level and then a senior level, but I'm still out in the open on that. I'm not going to declare or say what I really believe, because I really don't know what I believe. I got to be much more educated, and just help me right there a little bit. But I just do know that if we're going to get into the high school situations down at the level, that we're going to have grassroots high school state championships for females and stuff like that, which we do, I'd have to go look and see what they wrestle right now. And you may know that. I mean, I think there's like 7 or 8 high school state championships. And if that's already scholastic, and now we're going to go freestyle, or is it freestyle and they're already staying consistent? I think we just need to probably get our ducks in a row and get it consistent to the point that we're doing things as good as we can and not fighting within ourselves. And that's the big challenge for me.
Well, one thing to bring up on that is, I guess, that age-old debate with the kids that wrestling freestyle, or coaches that say, well, they may not have wrestled freestyle, they may not know it, so they deter their kids from wrestling it. We're going to need more coaches that are you know, have a good freestyle acumen to them. So where do you think the coaches' education comes to? Not just with the women, but where do we educate our coaches on the benefits of freestyle and Greco wrestling for those high school athletes that, as you say, you prefer a collegiate style, at least, and their scholastic style in the high schools? I mean, where do we get those coaches and educate them?
Well, I just think it's really an emphasis that somebody within each state starts to push more. Whether we are, you know, right now, the way it goes, I just think that we need more of the coaches at the scholastic level to jump on board with the international style, and after the season, during the summer, and you just got to take some people's words, some people that have higher authority, you know, whether it be me, whether it be the organization, or whether it be the athletes. We have to do more testimonials and get out there to make sure that they understand that we really need a lot more emphasis on helping the Olympic effort. And that means encouraging your high school kids, your junior high kids, to wrestle some freestyle and Greco-Roman, whether they do it in practice every day, or whether they mostly just do it in a special season where you peak out at Fargo, or you have the state freestyle championships, or the state Grecos, where you come back in there and do that. So, you know, I just think that right now that most of the coaches, you know, are probably underpaid, overworked, and they just don't want to take on another responsibility. But if you look at it as like, how can we make our sport better, bigger? And if you there and do a lot of work, then all of a sudden you're going to have a higher paid position because you're going to have more authority in the long run. So it's kind of, it's going to take a lot of commitment by people, and hopefully we can get that in the future.
Coach Gable giving his insights on international wrestling, the upcoming World Championships, August 21st through 26th, Accor Hotels Arena in Gap-Paris, Paris, France. If you can't make it, Coach will be there for at least 2 days, but if you can't make it, you can watch it on trackwrestling.com. Coach Gable, thank you for your time, and make sure you keep hitting those walleyes up north.
Well, it did pretty good. I don't know how big, you know, a 24-inch, 25-inch, 26-inch, 27-inch, but those all were boated in with my people in my boats.
Rub it in. Kick me while I'm down.
I had to do that because I heard you caught yourself a granddaddy, and I don't know what it was.
But. It was about a 2-ounce pity fish. That's what I caught. I'm still owe for my life and a walleye.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, okay. I just have to crash your party next time I'm up there.
Okay, it'll be a good one.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to matttalkonline.com.